Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Strictly NFL Podcast. Like always, I'm your host, Khan. I'm here today with Shwini Poo, as you may know from every other, damn near every other podcast we do over here at the Strictly. But a lot of talk about, obviously, the Diggs trade went down, so we got Shwin on for his opinion on that and how it affects the Bills and all that stuff. And we'll tackle some other stuff like offensive tackles, some contract situations to cover on the league and things of that nature. But before we get into all that stuff, we do have a message from our sponsor, Bet Online. So, as you know, it's March Madness going on right now. We're down to the last four teams. Bet Online has been, you know, kind of everybody's headquarters for brackets and betting throughout this tournament for the entirety of March. Now that we're down to the finals, or nearly the finals, you still have a lot more in store from MLB, NBA, NHL playoffs. All that stuff is around the corner. And as always, BetOnline is the number one source for all your summer sports wagering. So you can head over there to BetOnline today to stay updated on all the action. Remember to use the promo code BELIEVE, capital B-L-E-A-V, for a 50% off welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. And additionally, our new sponsor, Cut, is also sponsoring this podcast. So Believe Nation, as you all know, we've partnered with Cut, as you've heard on here before, the social betting platform. Cut is a peer-to-peer betting platform that allows you to bet directly against your buddies and other fans. And that's right, you could join the Believe crew on Cut today and bet directly against guys like me and Schwinn on all your favorite sports and even stuff like pop culture and political topics, which is crazy. So Cut is the ultimate put your money where your mouth is test, and it's legal here in New York. And I believe throughout the whole Tri-State area. So also be sure to follow at CutBet on all social media channels and download the app. Use the code. Or, okay, I'm going to get that.
Believe Nix. B-L-E-A-V Nix.
Okay. B-L-E-A-V Nix for a 10% deposit bonus. Jeez. All right. So without further ado, I think there's no other place to start this off besides talking about on Diggs, him getting shipped out of Buffalo, and how that kind of really shook up everything in the AFC over there. So what do you take from this, mostly, Schwinn? I want to get your thoughts first.
I was of the opinion that I was pretty confident last year towards the back half of the season after Brady took over that they were, and I mean, look, you look at what they did, right? They traded up for Kincaid last year in the draft. Khalil Shakir was a guy they didn't pick high, but was somebody that they were high on after his rookie season internally. And you just look at how the offense developed over the course of the year, especially once Brady took over, James Cook became a really big part of the offense. The running game was more prominent. I mean, they even got a lot of usage out of guys like Ty Johnson's a guy they brought in the middle of the season. And he was actually, I mean, I loved the way he ran for us last year. But the offense completely changed, and Diggs went from like insane target shares to way more like, yeah, dude, you're going to get as many targets as Kincaid today, or maybe Kincaid and Shakir and maybe Cook one day. And when you start seeing that, you're like, all right, well, you know, it's probably time to start phasing Diggs out a little bit anyway, right? He's 30. I know he had a monster start to the season last year, but then, I mean, his last half was bad. And yes, sure, some of that is schematic, but I think some of that was also like, hey, they drafted Shakir, Cook, and Kincaid in the last two drafts. When you invest capital, especially Kincaid and Cook, right, first and second round pick in guys like that, they need to become part of your they need to become pillars of your offense. There's no two ways about it.
Yeah.
And if they're not, then usually that says like, all right, this guy's a bust, right? Like you, we don't need to the like the. I'm not even trying to rub this in with Jets fans, but like it's like you know when they drafted Denzel Mims in the second round, and then the guy couldn't get on the field. Like at a certain point, you just have to be like, all right, you know, it's probably not trending well for the guy. Kincaid, obviously, Cook, Shakir, these guys haven't had the problem of getting on the field, but they were not getting targets because Dorsey's offense was very, very much like, okay, it's like a heliocentric NBA offense, right? Where it's just like, all right, no, well, Diggs is our best guy, so we're just going to feed Diggs. That's the offense. That's what we're trying to do. And other guys are kind of window dressing to try to get Diggs open, but the entire point is to get Diggs open. That was not the case under Dorsey, under Brady. He wanted to split and use more variety, and they, I mean, you saw the formations. They used way more variety in formation under Brady, and it wasn't just using different formations. It's how those concepts are layered. It's just a lot cleaner under Brady. Anyway, taking it back to the Diggs part of it, when you see that happening, I'd already assumed, my assumption was like, all right, yeah, this is Diggs last year in Buffalo, whatever. Obviously, you've got all this off-field stuff, which we can get into as well with Diggs. And I want to be very clear. When I say off-field stuff, I'm not talking about, like, Diggs is a criminal or something. Like, no, none of that. Like, Diggs is just – he's actually – seems like a pretty fucking awesome guy off the field and all that stuff. I'm talking more about locker room stuff. We'll talk about that. But I'd already assumed, okay, he's probably going to get cut after this year, you know, because – at that point, I think we would have had to eat like a $15 million dead cap hit next year. But, you know, you get one more year of Diggs, and then you eat the $15 million next year, you move on. I think what ended up happening is, I mean, and also we had to talk about the entire, it's good we waited to do this, because the fucking details on this Diggs contract now are ridiculous.
Yep.
So basically, like, the last 3 years of his contract now, the Texans... like washed off.
They voided it.
They paid him $3.5 million more. They like added $3.5 million to the contract in its last year, I think, or in this season. And now he gets to be a free agent when at the end of this year. So like, well, I mean, the Texans part of it is still, I still kind of like the bet depending on some things, but it's a lot less appealing now to me anyway. You know,
I mean, Diggs is the guy who won more so than the Texans or the Bills.
Yeah. And I think for the Bills, it was like, all right, we're going to have to eat this shit. Like, we're going to have to eat some shit one way or another. So we can either eat a lot of shit now and then it's just clean after this year, or we have Diggs for this year. But then we have to eat some shit next year. And we've already positioned ourselves to have a lot of cap space next year. What is more ideal? And I think, getting that high second, it's going to be a high second from the Vikings for 2025's draft. I really do believe that was like a value at a certain point. And look, I know the Bills gave up a sixth this year and they gave up a fifth next year, whatever. Those are picks you can easily recoup, and they'll probably get compensatory picks for free agents and stuff like that. So I'm not too worried about that part of it. But I just think that value to them was like, all right, if we're going to eat some shit, then this pick is actually worth it to us. It's almost like having a second first, right? It's like the concept of when you get, you know, when we do this with like NBA drafts all the time, right? Where we're like, well, that Pistons second is actually a first round pick because yeah, they're the worst team in the NBA. But it is a similar concept. And I do think a lot of like that type of thinking has now entered into the NFL. And like, look, if there's somebody at the end of the first round next year that they love, If they, and that's even if they keep the pick, because I think they might use this pick to trade up this year. But like, if you love somebody at the end of the first round next year, it's a lot easier to do that if you have a high second in your back pocket. So, you know, I'm not going to pretend that this is like some masterclass of management from Brandon Bean, because effectively, like, he had to bite the bullet now because of an extension he gave 2 years ago to Diggs when he still had 2 years left on his contract. Now, the argument would be, Diggs is definitely not shy about sharing his feelings. And I'm sure that part of the understanding when they traded for Diggs from Minnesota was like, hey, play well. We're going to take care of you. And if you don't take care of him at that point, Diggs is not a guy who's going to be afraid to be like, give me my fucking money.
Yeah.
And that's what it was. So, you know, I guess the best way to put it is like, if you think Diggs is declining, and I do think he's declining, I don't think he's a number one anymore. That's the problem. He's not a number one. I think he has the skill set to be a high level two. And honestly, you can like he can line up outside still. He can line up inside, which he's always been able to do. That's like really what has made him a great receiver is he's such a technician. You can line him up anywhere, but that like elite level, I don't think it's there. And you know, like his biggest game last year was that Dolphins game, right? He had a monster game against the Dolphins. If you go back and look at that game, the Dolphins secondary was pretty beat up. I think they were starting Kohu as their number one corner in that matchup. And that's a joke, right? But like, if you look at his matchups against elite corners over the last couple of years, aside from Jalen Ramsey at the start of 2022, and Jalen Ramsey, in my opinion, has just, I mean, he's not the same player he was when they won the Super Bowl. He's fallen off pretty strongly, in my opinion. Yeah. He's gotten strapped, man. Like, there's no other way to put it. And that KC game in the playoffs, I mean, the drop catch is crazy. I mean, that's you can't say some of the shit he might have been saying to Josh and then drop that ball. He fumbled on the first play of the game, which the Bills were fortunate that they just got up and like lined up and hiked it real quick. He drops the second play of the game is thrown to him. He drops that. He had a terrible game. But the most damning part of it to me is after the game, they were talking to the Chiefs corners. I think they talked to Legarius Sneed and Trent McDuffie. And they were just kind of asking them like about how the game unfolded. And I think McDuffie said something like, I think they thought that we were going to double digs and send help, like shade coverage towards him. But we didn't do that. They just put Legarius Sneed on him. And look, I know Legarius Sneed had a hell of a year, but you pay a number one receiver to get advantages in matchups like that. And if he can't do that, and teams know, all right, well, we don't need to shade coverage to this guy, then I think you're probably at a point where you're like, all right, well, if we're going to trade him, this is probably the best value we're going to get. And so it's like, do we trade him now, get a pick of higher value, or play out this year, then cut him after the year and have like a $15 million dead cap hit for next year when we want to be a cap space team? Mm-hmm. So that's the whole calculation. And I guess the pick made it worth it for them. But again, I'm not sitting here acting like, oh my God, Brandon Bean, you have done wonders on me. I think he's generally been a great GM, but this is obviously one where, you know, you're regretting a past decision and you're just trying to make the best moving forward.
Yeah. And with that trading of Diggs, you made almost $30 million in cap space next season. So 30 million dead cap this year. I mean, you're up against it regardless. You got your cap space now for the draft for some ancillary signings to fill out depth. But you go into this draft planning for that plan B for the Diggs trade, and you shift your focus on stacking up in 2025. So we talked about this off air. Trading Diggs affected the Bills' Super Bowl percentages by how much? 5% chance?
Let's say it's 5%.
So is that 5% that you were going to keep this year worth keeping the Diggs headache in the locker room, first off? Second off, delaying your, essentially your cap space timeline where you can continue to kind of big game hunt in free agency? And then third of all, I believe if they didn't trade Diggs this offseason, he would have had a dead cap hit spread across two seasons in 2025 and 2026.
Yeah.
It
was like a bigger number in 2025 and then a smaller one in 2026.
I believe it was like an $18 million in 2025 and then about $12 million in 2026, which kind of lines up with the $31 that he had this 2024 year in dead money. So somewhere along those lines. But seeing the return that they got, I think it makes you know, the franchise responsibility things, they all line up with this trade, especially when you consider looking at this kind of landscape for the older receivers. You look at what a guy like Davante Adams got when he was 29 going on 30 and got traded to Las Vegas. I believe the Packers got a first and a third in that trade. And you look at what Keenan Allen...
A first and a second.
And then you look at what Keenan Allen went for, going for a fourth-round pick this offseason. Granted, the Chargers had to dump some money. They had to get out of some contracts, but it didn't have to be in that way. And they surveyed the landscape. Keenan Allen got a fourth, and he's only 2 years older than Davante Adams was when he went for a first and a second. So when you look at things from that lens, I think the Bills were like, okay, it makes more sense for our franchise to bail out right now. And if we wait 1 year, his price could fall 80%. So it's not something that I think in 10 years people are going to look back on and say, oh, well, that's when it all went wrong, when they traded Stephon Diggs. And so,
yeah, I mean, like I said, I think they were going to move on either now or in a year. Like that was, and this is not like, this was, you can go and follow Big Bill's accounts on Twitter, and almost like that was kind of the universal like belief. It was like, all right, well, unless Diggs has a huge bounce back here, you know, this is probably it. It's probably the last year, and that's fine. It is what it is. But you know, I'm just okay with it, because I'll be quite honest, like I was kind of like sick of all the bullshit off the field with him, where you're like, he's like, it's like, dude, get up. Like, it's fine if I am constantly shit posting on Twitter. Why are you constantly shit posting on Twitter? Why are you being cryptic? Why are you like, you know, why are you berating? Like, you want to get mad at Josh Allen? I have no problem with that. Like, there's no reason to really like do shit like that on the sideline. And I want to be clear, like, it'd be one thing if Josh was a guy that like is on the sideline, like doing the Brady type stuff or Peyton, where you're like yelling at your guys. Like, I've never really seen that at all from Josh. Like, if he's doing that, it's more like a pump up. It's not, you fucking missed that block. What the fuck? Like, it's not that shit. He's just not that type of, you know, that's like not how he acts on the sideline. So for Diggs to do that to him in that AFC, you know, what is it, divisional round game against the Bengals, I mean, that was a big deal. That was like, obviously, that's a national game. Everybody's watching. It's the only game at the time, on at that time. And it was a game that people were locked in on. And for that to happen in that situation is not a great look. You know, there's a lot of shit. You can go through all the stuff over the last couple of years with Diggs, and it's like, you know, he's got his brother tweeting like how bad Buffalo is and how he needs to get out of there. And it's like, you know, do I think that necessarily reflects poorly on Stephon Diggs? No. But at the same time, it's like, why are these people who are close to you, why do they keep indicating like that? That's weird. It is weird when people that are that close to your fucking brother is like comfortable just shitting on the team and the city that you play for. It's odd. It is odd. There's no other way around it. That's very fucking weird. And like, you know, there's the stuff with Josh. And I mean, I can say this, but I'm not reporting anything to you. There are probably people that are, most people that are listening to this are not Bills fans. So like, you know, if you're like locked in, like I am, to Bills stuff, you know, Cover One, they do really great work on their live stream after the trade initially went down. Eric Turner, who runs the site, and he's great. He's super awesome. Even if you're not a Bills fan, it's definitely worth a follow. He basically reported that, you know, after they had had some mix-up during that divisional round game in the, against the Bengals. That's what initiated the blow-up. And I guess it was a route that they had worked on during the week. And, you know, I guess Allen had told them, like, forget the route. Just whatever read the leverage and I'll hit you. Whatever it is, right? So it's like, even if the play is supposed to be for an outside release, if the leverage is telling you it's an inside release, just play the leverage and I'll find you. Whatever happened on that play was a mix-up. I guess Diggs told Allen when they were going to the sideline, like, basically, like, what's your excuse now, Josh? Like, what is your excuse now? Like, you're just making these excuses. Like, what's your excuse? And you know, obviously Josh handled it however he handled it. I don't think he really even reacted to what Diggs was saying at that, in that moment anyway, on the sideline. And then I guess after, I mean, this, and this actually got reported by Tim Graham, who writes for The Athletic today on a podcast. He mentioned that after the first game this week, right? So you got to remember, Bills season ends, they lose to the Bengals, right? Personally, I think that that team was just emotionally, and they were just shot in a lot of ways with the whole DeMar Hamlin thing and all the shit they had to deal with that year. They have opening game of the season against the Jets. And it's this huge buildup, right? Aaron Rodgers' debut. Rodgers gets hurt, and everybody in, and their mom is running to FanDuel to live bet the Bills. Allen plays a terrible game. It's just an awful game. Forcing throws, stupid plays, whatever. After the game, I guess, you know, he's sitting at his locker, and everybody's just kind of like coming up to him, like patting him on the back, like, you know, it's the first game of the season, right? It's like, all right, don't worry about it, we'll figure it out. He's obviously not feeling great about himself. And again, this is just what Tim Graham said. He said that he saw Diggs go over to him. He doesn't know what Diggs said to him, but he heard Josh just say, like, it's been one fucking game. So they clearly had some tension and friction going on between them. I don't know that they hated each other, but it was not the hunky dory feeling they had a couple of years prior. And I don't know when the hell that started happening, but it did. And I also know for sure, like, I know that Diggs was unhappy about certain things in their offense initially. He also had the weird thing this year, remember, where he didn't go to OTAs, and McDermott was like, you know, it's always concerning if he's not here because he's one of our best players, something like that. He had a lot of, there's just a lot of weird things going on with him. And I also think it's weird that, like, of the guys on our team, like, you know, a guy gets traded, you know, business is business, right? So I would imagine that part of Diggs' desire to leave Buffalo is maybe he just wanted to get out of Buffalo, maybe he wasn't getting out with Allen. But also, I think he might have been like, I want an opportunity to get a new contract. And, you know, obviously that was the Texans, clearly, like, when he gets traded to the Texans, I guarantee you they were like, he's like, I want an extension. And they were like, go fuck yourself. Mm-hmm. So like, whatever. It's all very weird and confusing, and I personally just think it was like, you can be an asshole. A lot of players are assholes. A lot of great players are assholes. But you can be an asshole up until you're no longer worth it. If I had to deal with you being like, if Jalen Brunson is a gigantic asshole, I will deal with it. I will, like, and that will be, it's just something you got to deal with. The moment,
but if it's 2022 Julius Randle,
right? Like, you're just, no, like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, get this shit out of here. And that's what it kind of was at the end of this year. We were like watching Diggs, and I'm like, dude, can you? He had like no explosive plays in the last basically 8 weeks. I mean, he had one big catch against Miami in the last game of the season.
Yeah,
but the playoffs, it was just not good. He didn't do anything. And then you compare that to like Shakir, and yeah, look, I'm positive that Shakir was benefiting from the fact that whether the Chiefs were doubling him or not, he clearly was always going to have a little bit more attention as currently is than Diggs is. But Shakir, you watch some of the catches and plays he's making in that Kansas City game. I mean, it's not really, I'm not even saying you can, I don't think you can argue it. He literally made more impact plays in the playoffs in that game than Diggs did in 4 years. That's like, you know, again, you want to be an asshole? Fine. He's always been productive in the regular season. Did not show up big in playoff games. You want to say that's because he's getting double covered and whatever. Okay, but I see other great receivers get double covered and show up in playoff games.
Yeah.
Like, that's part of the job. That's part of being a number one receiver.
Also broke off that game-winning touchdown against the Steelers.
Oh, yeah. Shakir's fucking – he's awesome, man. Like, he's great. And then you see Kincaid emerging, too. Kincaid, the back half – you remember the first half of the year, it was like, oh, my God, do they know what they're doing with this guy? Look at Sam Laporta in Detroit. And then you watch the back half of the year, and you're like, you know, look, he's not Kelsey, because Kelsey is fucking – like, he's
– his own thing.
Yeah, he's the greatest pass-catching tight end, as far as I'm concerned, ever. But, like, he is that type of a tight end where you can get him the rock in space and he can get you. He can make guys miss or run through guys or whatever. And then, you know, his route running and the fact that you can line him up all over the field. And, you know, he's not like a dominant blocker, but he wasn't like a terrible blocker. He was fine. You know, you watch those two guys emerge. You see Cook, right? I mean, Cook had a monster year, and you can argue he underwhelmed in some ways because he dropped, like, I mean, he's a great pass catcher. He had a bad pass catching year. And even then, his numbers look spectacular. So, I don't know. When you see these emerging guys, and then you're like, okay, this is a loaded wide receiver draft, which we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
If you're going to do it again, it's like, all right, maybe this is it. And you know what? If Josh is like, look, let's put it this way. If Allen wanted Diggs to be on the roster and was like wholly against, like if he was like, no, that's my guy, you can't do it, he'd fucking be a Bill. There's no way he's not on the team. If Allen is like, if they go to Allen and they're like, hey, we're going to trade Diggs, and he's like, what are you fucking talking about? No, you're not. Then he'd be on the Bills. But clearly, Allen was not exactly fighting or something for the guy.
Yeah. Just seems like things ran their course. And I don't think anybody should be like the way you are. I know you don't have any malice or whatever the word may be towards Diggs and like how things have been handled, because he gave you legit wide receiver one production. And the Bills now did right by themselves. Diggs did right by himself. He's going to get a new contract this offseason, and people are going to move on. I think that's pretty much every point touched on that Diggs as a topic over there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not even honestly like the way I felt was like, I think there were people that were like, I had so many people who are like, oh my God, like, how do you feel? Like, this is crazy. And I was just kind of like, after all the details came out, I was just like, it's fine. It is like, this was not, this is not like trading for OG. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I hear that. And one of the things that hit my mind, just because I was talking about the Jags and their situation after losing Calvin Ridley with somebody, both of these teams now, the Bills and the Jags, could be in competition for Brandon Ayuk, depending on what happens at the draft over there. God knows how many fucking comp picks the Niners have every year. And with that, you know, they could maneuver, they could trade up for a receiver if they really want to, and they can bank some capital, save some money by trading Brandon Ayuk. If the Bills are interested, I don't think there's a better kind of like trade-off or kind of transition because of the way that Diggs wins and the way that Ayuk wins. I think they're very similar. And I think, honestly, Ayuk is a bigger and potentially better version of him right now than Diggs was when he went to Buffalo when he was 26 years old. So the price for him is probably a 1 and a 3, somewhere in that ballpark. If I was the Bills, I'd gladly pay that, and I'd gladly pay him because I think Ayuk is in a full-time role as a wide receiver one who's seeing whatever it is, 170 targets a year. I think he's a top five talent at the position. I think when there's so many metrics that line up and put you among the Tyreek Hills and, you know, the Keenan Allens and the Devontae Adams and Justin Jeffersons, Jamar Chases of the world, you look at stuff like receiving yards per team pass attempt, receiving yards of team market share of pass of receiving yards. You look at first downs per reception. He's elite and consistently top 10, top 5 in all those metrics. So getting out of San Francisco, out of kind of having to split wide receiver one duties with Debo and Kittle and CMC every week, that's a guy who could really pop. And honestly, if you tell me right now he goes to Buffalo and has 100 catches for 1,500 yards and 10 touchdowns next year, I fully believe that. I think he is one of the elite wide receivers in this league just waiting to blossom and just go, like Dave Gettleman said, in full bloom love with him. Like he's
great, a fucking great. The great football mind that David Gettleman is. No, I mean, Ayuk's situation is not it's not the same thing. I don't think he's like, I don't think Ayuk is necessarily angling to leave San Francisco. I think he just wants to get paid. He just wants to get paid. But like his situation is not that far off from what Diggs was in Minnesota, where it was like, yeah, I'm good and people know I'm good, but I could be better. I can do more. I can be a number one. I can be featured in a, like, I think the Niners ran the ball more than anybody in football last year, right?
Naturally, if not top one, at least, you know, top five.
So, like, you take a guy like Ayuk and then you put him into a Bills offense, or any offense for that matter, where you're going to throw the ball around a lot more. I don't doubt that he can do more. I think I've seen enough from him. And the other thing with Ayuk that I love, he's so physical. He'll block. He's one of these guys, like, after the catch, kind of, he's not like Earl Campbell or something, but he's happy to run through guys, not go down, not just Diggs was actually amazing at protecting himself. Like, I don't think I've ever seen that guy take a monster hit. And I actually mean that as a credit. I'm not saying that he was scared to go across the middle. I'm saying he knew how to protect himself while still being an elite pass catcher. Ayuk is different than that. But he's also like, it feels like Brady wants more yak. Like, you know, we saw them throw all these wide receiver screens to Diggs, and you could tell Diggs was like, this is not what I do, bro. Like, I'm not trying to fucking break through like a 2-on-3 here for 8 yards. Like, that's not what we do. Like, I'm not that player. I'm a technician. You give me routes to run, I read it, I get open. I don't fucking do bubble screens and try to take that shit to the house. That is not my game.